This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
In November 2017, FDA Commissioner Gottlieb introduced Generic Drug Science Day as, quote, the chance to showcase the evolving scientific and regulatory challenges related to generic drug evaluation, as well as some of the solutions being developed by the FDA, end of quote. These solutions include the Drug Competition Action Plan and other policies aimed at bringing more competition to the drug market. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. Today, my guest is Meryl Tufanian, acting director in the FDA Office of Generic Drug Policy, and we will discuss generic drugs, FDA's generic drug review process, and the challenges and opportunities that generic drugs present to the healthcare system in the United States. Thank you for joining us today, Ms. Tufanian, and welcome.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
Let's start with some basics. What's the difference between generic drugs and brand name drugs?
A generic drug is a medication that FDA has determined is the same as a brand drug that's already on the market, and that the product can be safely substituted for that brand. We make this determination by reviewing and approving what's referred to as an abbreviated new drug application, which is essentially a generic drug application that's submitted to the agency. Some basic background about the generic drug review and approval process might be helpful for our conversation today, so I thought I'd dive a little bit deeper into that. So in order for FDA to approve a generic drug, a generic manufacturer must submit scientific information supporting the generic drug's sameness to the brand. As I indicated, it's the same, so a generic applicant has to prove that it is. And there are three main buckets of data and information that we require when an applicant comes in. The first relates to the product itself. A generic drug applicant has to show that its product has the same active ingredient, dosage form, route of administration, and strength as that brand product that's already on the market, the sort of nuts and bolts of the product. If a generic meets those requirements, it's what we consider to be pharmaceutically equivalent to that brand product. The second bucket requires a generic applicant to show the product has the same labeling that's approved for the brand and is bioequivalent to the brand. That's a scientific showing that means, in general terms, the generic product gets to the part of the body where the drug product's supposed to work at the same time and in the same amount as the brand drug. In our parlance, pharmaceutical equivalent plus bioequivalent means the product is therapeutically equivalent, that they have the same clinical effect and safety profile as the brand. Now, the third bucket is just as important as the first two, and that is that, like the brand, we require all generic applicants to meet our high standards for product quality, which critically includes that generics are manufactured under the same high standards that we apply to brand products.
So, bottom line, do both generic drugs and brand name drugs work in the same way?
Yes. If we approve a generic product, it will work the same as the brand.
So what is the advantage of increasing the usage of generic drugs?
I think the fundamental advantage is that they cost less. And they cost less than their brand name counterparts because they'll cost less to develop. The testing that's required by law is different for the two types of products. For a brand product, the brand applicant has to come in and show that its product is safe and effective for the indicated usage. And they do that by submitting clinical data from standard two well-controlled clinical trials in order to demonstrate that safety and effectiveness. As I discussed earlier, generics don't have to demonstrate that they're safe and effective. We actually rely on our determination vis-a-vis the brand. Instead, generics have to show that they're the same in the ways that I described previously. This generally is much less costly than the type of data that's required to develop the brand. Now, the reduction in cost means that although generic medicines have the same therapeutic effect because they've met our standards for sameness and approval, they're sold for less, which makes them more affordable treatments for consumers.
How do drug developers ensure therapeutic equivalence between generics and their brand name equivalent?
So we require, as I described earlier, that the generic company produce data demonstrating it can make a drug that can be substituted for the brand. To assist the generic pharmaceutical industry with this endeavor, there's a whole host of resources. One is, of course, our law, which outlines exactly what must be in a generic drug application. FDA has implemented a number of regulations that give potential generic drug applicants more information on how to meet those requirements. And then there's a much more active process that FDA engages in, where we regularly publish guidance documents that describe in pretty specific detail our current thinking and recommendations on how to develop therapeutic equivalents for brand products. For example, there's a variety of ways to demonstrate bioequivalence. You know, I referenced that was a key component to generic drug approval. And under our regulations, generic drug applicants can use a whole host of different types of data, in vitro data, comparative in vivo data, like PK studies, and we will evaluate that data from those comparative studies to validate that the generic is going to perform in the same way. Now, to help drug developers, we will issue a guidance either about a product class or even a particular product where we describe what we think is the most accurate, sensitive, and reproducible way of demonstrating bioequivalence. And all those product-specific and general guidances are available on our website. And that's just an example. We have guidances for almost every aspect of the generic drug application. We also have some tools available for generic targeted inquiries. We have a process by which applicants who are developing a generic drug can write us a letter under a controlled correspondence that will allow us to answer a specific question. If folks have more general questions, certain applications can take advantage of a pre-submission meeting program where we give people some foundational guidance. And taking a step back, one of the things that's, I think, the most exciting and relatively new for the generic drug program and generic drug industry is our very robust regulatory science program. We, as an agency, conduct science into the science of generic drug development and approval, what it takes to demonstrate bioequivalence, what it takes to demonstrate active ingredient sameness. And we both conduct that research internally and make externally grants available for folks in the public and private sectors to engage in that research as well. All of that material is then provided on our website, either through information about the studies or the guidances themselves.
What are acceptable differences between branded drugs and their generic counterparts?
A generic drug must be as safe and effective as the brand it copies. That's the bar, and that is never compromised. There can be some differences between products, but a generic applicant must provide us affirmative data that those differences do not impact the safety or effectiveness of the product, do not impair the substitution of that generic product for the brand. For example, certain oral dosage form products may differ with respect to inactive ingredients in their formulations. We've all gone to a pharmacy and seen something that's a different color or a slightly different shape. Now, we evaluate those differences and evaluate whether they affect safety or effectiveness of the product. And if they do, we will not approve a generic. So if you have those differences, you know the FDA has evaluated them and determined they don't impact safety or effectiveness. Now, these considerations are different for each product, and we evaluate each one individually. You can imagine that there are certain permissible differences in solid oral dosage forms that might not be permissible in a parenteral injectable product just because of the different clinical effect. So we check the box for every application that comes in.
If a generic drug works in the same way as a brand name drug, why are generic drugs much less expensive than brand name drugs?
I think there are actually two main reasons. One is what we talked about before, and that is the type of data and information that is required to show the product is the same generally costs less to develop than the information to show that the brand drug is safe and effective in the first instance. They still have the same clinical safety and effectiveness, but the study required to demonstrate the sameness just usually costs less. I think the second element is that oftentimes there are multiple generic drugs approved to compete with a single brand drug. And this creates competition in the marketplace, which typically results in lower prices. The reduction of upfront research costs really means that although they have the same therapeutic effect as their branded counterparts, generics are typically sold at substantially lower costs. And when multiple generic companies market a single approved product, competition usually results once we have three or more generics approved at almost 85% less than the brand name. So you can really see why both the type of studies to get approved and the number of generics that are on the market really result in significant savings for the public health. We had an IMS Institute estimate that even from a limited period of time from 2007 to 2016, almost $1.7 trillion was saved in the U.S. healthcare system.
That's a huge number.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of it.
Regarding the regulatory approval process, does the FDA hold generics to the same standards as brand name drugs?
We certainly held them to the same high standards with respect to high quality and high manufacturing standards. There's no question. The technical requirements for approval are somewhat different. Sameness, as I described above, is what generics have to show. But ultimately, the determination whether they must be safe and effective for the approved uses are absolutely met.
Are there any circumstances that would require special considerations before a generic drug is prescribed? For example, there are drugs that have a narrow therapeutic index, NTI, or are critical dose drugs. They have a narrowly defined range between doses that are safe and doses that are toxic. So are there any regulations or policies that restrict prescription of generic drugs with a narrow therapeutic index?
I don't think that healthcare practitioners need to have any special considerations for products like NTI products. And that's because our scientific approval requirements actually consider status like NTI status as part of our initial assessment of the application. We know that small differences in dose or blood concentration can lead to serious therapeutic failures or adverse drug reactions that are life-threatening or can result in disability or incapacity. That's on our radar. And for such products, we, as part of the evaluation of approval, will identify the relevant formulation characteristics and performance qualities that are relevant to these concerns and make sure that the applicant addresses them. And we can see some of that consideration when we look, for example, at a guidance, like I mentioned earlier, describing what an applicant should do to demonstrate bioequivalence. We will explicitly note NTI products in those bioequivalence recommendations and provide guidance to address those concerns. We also have general guidances that set forth our thinking on NTI products.
Moving to the general public, I wonder if you think that the general public has some misconceptions, perhaps, about generic drugs, and what might those misconceptions be?
I think, unfortunately, there are still some misconceptions, although over our history, I think we've gone very far through millions of people taking generic drugs and knowing that they're safe and that they work. We've gone a long way to proving the robustness of the generic program. Some common misconceptions that still remain sometimes are whether the generic drug will work the same as the brand. It looks different, so it must work different or cost less, so it won't work as well. And we certainly know that they're out there and have taken steps to address those concerns in a variety of fora.
Is FDA doing something specifically to educate the public?
We are. There's a number of endeavors that we engage in. I think it's not one size fits all, because in the healthcare system, there's a lot of different stakeholders. There's healthcare practitioners, there's providers, there's family members, there's patients. So we have a bunch of arrows in our quiver to address those concerns. For example, with respect to healthcare practitioners, a few years ago, we learned that the American Epilepsy Society had advised their members against using generic anti-epileptic products. We conducted two FDA studies that show that a generic anti-epileptic product had no difference when compared to the brand name. This is post-approval. And we gave that information to the society and to the public in general. And the society actually reversed their opinion a couple years ago based on those two studies. Now, obviously, that type of scientific study wouldn't necessarily be as effective when we're talking about patients. So we have other tools for that. For example, in 2017, we recently launched an educational campaign aimed at really raising awareness among Americans about the value of generic prescription medicine. It's designed to convey two central messages. First is the foundational message: generic drugs are as safe and effective as their brand name counterparts. The second message is also critically important, and that is that patients and their doctors should talk to each other about exploring generic alternatives. And there's a gold mine of information available for patients and healthcare providers on our website.
I wanted to ask you perhaps a delicate question, and that is, maybe some of the reluctance by some patients to use generic drugs is the notion that they're not made in the United States. It is generally understood that approximately 70% of active pharmaceutical ingredients in drugs that are prescribed in the U.S., both novel drugs and especially generic drugs, are manufactured outside the U.S., notably in China and in India. It's also public knowledge that FDA has issued numerous warning letters to foreign manufacturers due to GMP violations and has often forbidden the importation of foreign manufactured drugs into the U.S. because of those violations. So my question is, how can FDA reassure the American people that the generic medicines they take, which may be manufactured abroad, are safe and effective and not, if I can use the expression, contaminated or even dangerous?
I understand that those concerns are out there, and I can say that FDA is committed to ensuring that American consumers have access only to safe, high-quality products. It's our responsibility to ensure that products distributed within the United States, no matter where they're made, meet U.S. requirements and standards for product safety and quality. And I'd like to give a little bit more information about the nuts and bolts work that we do so folks can understand what that looks like. The FDA inspects pharmaceutical manufacturing facilities worldwide. We evaluate if they're following good manufacturing practice requirements, which are outlined in our law and in our regulations. And those include current good manufacturing practice regulations. Those are referred to commonly as CGMP regulations, which apply to facilities across the spectrum, including those that manufacture products, process the products, package them, or even hold them that are intended for the U.S. market. Following CGMPs ensures that the drug meets the requirements of our law as to safety and have the identity and strength and meet the quality and purity characteristics that the drug product is supposed to possess. Now, we inspect these facilities. Some inspections occur on a routine basis. Others take place when FDA is reviewing a generic drug application, or even if we receive information about a potential product manufacturing or quality problem. During the inspections, we may observe what we describe as deviations from good manufacturing practices. When this occurs, the agency works with the firm until the firm is able to demonstrate that the problem has been corrected and sufficient actions have been taken to prevent the problem from occurring. Many companies that are inspected are found to be compliant with our requirements at the time of inspection, and if they're not, we're not going to permit product to come into the U.S. market until they demonstrate that they are in compliance. To ensure the consumers have access to safe, high-quality products, the agency will take appropriate action against any company distributing products to the U.S. market that don't meet these requirements. And we're committed to working closely with the firms and our international regulatory partners to resolve any issues.
Finally, Commissioner Gottlieb has stated FDA's intent to approve more generic drugs in an effort to expand the availability of affordable drugs to patients, as well as to contain the overall spend on prescription drugs in the U.S. Is FDA accelerating the approval timelines for generic drugs now and in the near future to achieve this goal? And if so, how does the agency do that?
Yes, we are. But we are ensuring as we do that, that the generic drugs applications continue to meet our high standards for review and approval. Taking a step back, FDA doesn't have a direct role in drug pricing. That being said, we can make a direct impact on the availability of lower cost generic drugs, which are a vital benefit to the public. They cost a fraction of the price, and it's no surprise that I think that we're upwards of 9 out of 10 prescriptions are filled using generic drugs. And that's just one reason why generic drugs, and more specifically, increased access to generic drugs, is a priority of Commissioner Gottlieb, which is reflected in the Drug Competition Action Plan. We know that when more than one generic version is approved, it spurs competition and provides affordable options for consumers. Now, how are we doing that? Right now, our efforts are focused in three key areas, which we identified would really make an impact on generic drug access. The first is really focused on the question that you asked, and that's accelerating approval timeline. We're doing that by streamlining the generic drug development and review process to increase efficiency and effectiveness with the ultimate goal of more approvals faster. And that effort is done in partnership with our industry generic drug manufacturer applicants. The second bucket is a little bit more targeted. It also involves enhancing the development and streamlining review of generic products, but with a specific type of generic in mind. And those are what we refer to as complex generics. These are medicines that generally have at least one feature that makes them harder to genericize under our traditional approaches. For example, it has a complex active ingredient for which sameness might be difficult to demonstrate using traditional methods. There may be a drug and a device component to a product that makes the demonstration of sameness potentially require different data than what is required for a traditional solid oral dosage form. So we're really focusing on how to develop those complex generics. And the third bucket is an intent to reduce gaming by brand companies, and that gaming that will frustrate and delay generic approval beyond what Congress intended when they established the generic drug pathway.
You mean by gaming? Can you give us an example?
Sure. For example, generic drug applicants need the brand product in order to conduct the studies that we've been describing. For example, the bioequivalent study. There are instances in which the brand product sponsor will restrict access to generic manufacturers of their brand product, either by requiring distribution systems to be limited to specific pharmacies or otherwise do not permit the general commercial flow of product into the market. This is not something that's required by FDA, and it really impedes generic drug access. So we're looking into ways that FDA can help counter those voluntary restricted distribution pathways so that generic drug developers can get the product, develop their generic drug application.
You mentioned complex generics. Let me ask you if biosimilars are also regulated by the Office of Generic Drugs, because some of our listeners may have that question.
So biosimilars are actually approved through a different pathway than traditional generic drugs, and they are administered by another part of the FDA that is specifically dedicated to biosimilar review and approval. So that is something that isn't housed within the Office of Generic Drugs, but certainly is a priority for Commissioner Gottlieb and for the agency in general.
Is there a backlog of generic drug, new drug applications, ANDAs, in the Office of Generic Drugs? If so, how big is that backlog, and when can sponsors expect it to be completely cleared?
There is no backlog of generic drug applications that are waiting review by the FDA. We are pleased to have a healthy pipeline of products, applications that are in-house that we are actively reviewing, consistent with timelines that we committed to with our industry partners as part of our user fee program. We have met or exceeded all of those time review commitments. In addition, there is a number of applications for which we've identified deficiencies that we have provided back to our industry partners. They are working on those, and we anticipate when they come back in that we'll be able to review and hopefully approve those as soon as the applications are ready.
Well, I appreciate the answers to these many questions, Mr. Fanyan. I appreciate your time, and we've come to the end of our conversation. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
For the AA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.